Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The music of Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart. It's amazing. Brilliant, really. Its beauty has touched the lives of millions of people throughout the centuries. Did you know that Mozart wrote his first symphony, that's all the instruments of the orchestra, when he was 9 years old? He composed his first musical selection at the age of 4. He was called the Wunderkind, the miracle child, inspired by the muses. Much the same for Pablo Picasso. He completed his first oil painting at the age of 9. Blaise Pascal was a mathematical genius at the age of 12. Yet not every world changer was necessarily a child prodigy. We think of Michelangelo, William Shakespeare, Sir Isaac Newton, Albert Einstein, Thomas Edison. Each had an amazing gift that touched and changed and shaped our world in profound ways. Now let me ask you this. Have you ever been just a wee bit jealous of someone who has had some incredible gift? Maybe it was smarts, maybe it was athletic or musical ability, maybe it was the ability to inspire a crowd or to lead. Well, there were a number of Christians in Corinth who possessed some amazing, really miraculous gifts. They were able to heal, to perform miracles, to prophesy. Imagine being able to predict the future, to heal a loved one's cancer, to take away their arthritis or Alzheimer's, to be able to speak fluent Mandarin without even having to study. Would I be jealous of people who had those kinds of gifts? I might be. And if the shoe was on the other foot, if I was one of the gifted, well, unfortunately, I could see myself seeing myself as one of God's gifts to his church. And so it's no surprise that spiritual gifts became another contentious issue in the church at Corinth. The next couple of chapters of 1 Corinthians 12 to 14 are really Paul's "we need to talk" response to the issues and the struggles that spiritual gifts raised in the church of Corinth. Now, I don't think the Christians at Corinth were the only ones who had questions about spiritual gifts. I wouldn't be surprised if there were a number of people here who never really heard of spiritual gifts, at least not in the sense we're going to talk about them today. And if you have, do you really understand what they're all about? What kind of relevance does this whole discussion have to our everyday lives? And if spiritual gifts are that important, then why don't we have healing services in the Lutheran church? Why don't we speak in tongues? It's a lot of questions. So let's start where Paul began, with the basics. A lot of people going back to school right now, so that's what we'll do this morning. Spiritual gifts 101. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul begins at verse 1. He says, "Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, 'Jesus be cursed,' and no one can say, 'Jesus is Lord,' except by the Holy Spirit." And here we have spiritual gifts, fundamental truth number one. There are no gifts of the Spirit without the Spirit. Sounds pretty basic. Now, Christians, we love to focus on Jesus, and rightfully so. Jesus is our Savior. He sacrificed his life. He died to purchase forgiveness for us. He brought us back into a relationship with God. And so we love Jesus and everything that he did. But with all this focus on Jesus, it's easy to lose sight of the equally important role that the Holy Spirit plays in our journey back to God. No one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. In other words, there is no saving faith, there is no salvation without the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit alone who can soften our hard, unbelieving hearts and ignite them with the flame of faith. If the Holy Spirit doesn't plant faith in the heart, it is not going to happen, ever. And that means that everything that Jesus did would be absolutely meaningless without the work of the Holy Spirit. Faith, saving faith, is the Holy Spirit's number one all-important foundational gift to you, the gift of the Spirit. Yet, spiritual gifts, fundamental truth number two, saving faith, as important as it is really just the beginning of the amazing changes that the Holy Spirit works in the believer's heart. There are additional gifts, a boatload of them. Changes of heart and mind that just naturally accompany this gift of saving faith. Jesus told his disciples that after his death and resurrection, after he returned to his Father, he would send the Holy Spirit, who would teach us and remind us of all the things that Jesus had taught us. The Holy Spirit teaches us truths that comfort and encourage us as we face the struggles and the pitfalls of the journey of life. The Holy Spirit is the one who gives us this gift we call peace. The gift of confidence that when we mess up, when we sin, in Jesus we are forgiven and we are good with God. In Galatians, Paul speaks of the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The Holy Spirit helps us find answers and purpose and hope and even joy in the most difficult circumstances of life. These are the gifts the Holy Spirit gives to every single believer. But there's still more. Spiritual truth, fundamental truth number three: on top of all these shared gifts, the Holy Spirit also gives to each one of us a special gift or gifts. Gifts that are intended to transform every believer into a vessel that the Holy Spirit uses to extend his life-altering, world-changing work. Do you understand what that means? It means that the Holy Spirit chooses to use you to do his wondrous and miraculous work in this world. In Romans chapter 12, Paul, talking about this topic, lists some of these spiritual gifts. He says we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. You see, and this was Paul's encouragement to the Gentile Christians as well, the Holy Spirit gives special gifts to each believer. These gifts can be anything from teaching to mercy, generosity, even gifts of administration. The list is as diverse as the people in God's church. God has gifted and shaped every believer so that every believer, every member of Christ's church has something to offer. You see, God did not design the church. And I'm talking about, not talking about St. Paul's here, but on a bigger scope, the body of believers. God did not design his church to be a spectator sport, where just a couple of people are doing all the things that the Holy Spirit wants done in this world, and the rest just watch. God designed the church to be more like a beehive, a community where everyone has a vital and important role to play, no matter who you are, no matter where you are, no matter what it is you are doing in your life. That's where your gift from the Holy Spirit comes in. God made you one of a kind. Your personality, your talents, your passions, your abilities are unique to you. And these unique characteristics shape and fashion our interests, our hobbies, even our career choices. And of course, that's true for everyone in this world. But for the Christian, it's different. You see, when we become Christ's followers, the Holy Spirit puts us on a different path, and he takes our talents and our abilities and our passions, and he weaves them into his plan to accomplish his purpose in this world. Spiritual gifts, fundamental truth number four. It is the Holy Spirit, not us, who is the architect and the designer of these spiritual gifts. He decides who gets them, and he has a plan for how he's going to use them to grow God's people and God's church. Now, as I mentioned earlier, here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul gives a list of the special, extraordinary, really, spiritual gifts that God gave the Christians at Corinth. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of that same Spirit. Not exactly sure what that difference is, but it seems as though some are able to clearly expound the Word of God, and others can take that and apply it to people's lives so they can see exactly what it means for them. To another, faith by that same Spirit. And this isn't just saving faith here. This is the faith that Jesus talks about. He talks about faith that moves mountains, this incredible trust in God to do what he promised even when we can't see it. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy, as we mentioned these already. To another, distinguishing between spirits, who is a true messenger of God and who is just out for gain. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues, which we'll talk about in the weeks ahead. A lot of these gifts, healing, miracles, gifts of tongues, these are gifts that we don't see in our church today, at least not in the same form that they existed in the early church. And that leads to a natural question. Why? Why don't we have these gifts? Now, some are going to say, well, you know, it's obvious why you don't have these gifts. It's because you are not spirit-filled enough. You don't have enough faith. That kind of thinking can really mess with us. Because if we're not spirit-filled enough, if we don't have enough faith, does that put our salvation in jeopardy? The gifts of the Holy Spirit and faith, those are gifts for God to give, aren't they? Not something that we try to conjure up out of nothing in ourselves. I think a more biblically appropriate answer would be what we've been saying all along, that it's the Holy Spirit who decides what gifts to give and when, according to his plan and his purpose. We take a look at Mark 16:20. There we get a glimpse of why the Holy Spirit possibly chose to give these incredible gifts to the church of Corinth. There we read, "Then the disciples went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied it." So what the Holy Spirit did is he used these supernatural gifts as an incentive for the people who were listening to the message that was shared to take that word seriously, because this is backed up by God and God's miraculous powers. That was the Spirit's plan and purpose. Paul says there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. Different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of workings, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. So at one time, to the Corinthians, God gives these gifts according to his plan and purpose. Today he gives us different gifts according to his plan and purpose. The problem is, the Christian isn't always on board with the Holy Spirit's plan. Sometimes we're not even thinking about spiritual gifts in our life. And it's easy for us, I think, like the Corinthian Christians, to be all about the high-profile gifts, right? Today it might be the pastor that we think of. Now, he's got the all-important gifts. He's the one who preaches. He knows more about God and the Bible. Or we might think it's the worship team type people, the people who have the gift to play the music and to sing and to lead our worship. They have the most important gifts. And the rest of us think, well, that means, since I don't have those gifts, that I really don't have much to offer. But that's not true. Spiritual gifts, fundamental truth, number 5. God truly and sincerely wants everyone, every believer, to be a part of the action. Paul says in verse 7, now to each one, which one of you does that leave out? None, right? To each one, the manifestation of the Spirit has been given for the common good. 2 points there. The first one, the Holy Spirit has given each of you your special spiritual gift. And he's given it for the common good, for a purpose, so that it can be a gift that just keeps on giving. You know, God, I believe, has high hopes for the world and the people of this world. Why else would he make the investment that he did? Why else would he send Jesus, not only to teach us a better way, but to show us a better way? Why else would he offer him up as a sacrifice for our sins, to give us a second chance, a new start? And why else would he make the incredible effort to give every single believer just the right spiritual gift so that they could play a vital role in his Save the World team? My friend, sin has broken this world, hasn't it? Broken the people of this world. There are broken bodies, broken hearts, broken relationships, broken spirits, broken minds. Your word of comfort, your word of encouragement, your generous gift, your ability to organize and lead some kind of helpful ministry, your ability to design a beautiful yet functional ministry facility, your gift to inspire hearts through music, to apply your financial wisdom, your prayers for those in need, your passion to hold on to the truth of God's word, your hospitality in hosting a small group, even being able to fix a car and help a single mother through a most difficult time. The Holy Spirit uses the gift that you have, whatever it is, so that you just don't benefit yourself, but so that you can help and serve others. Peter says, each one of you should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. Now, what I'm afraid of is that this message is just going to pile more guilt onto your life as you think about, man, I've got so many things going on. I feel overwhelmed already. And now, Pastor, you're telling me there's something else I should be thinking about, something else I should and could be doing. Your Heavenly Father doesn't want you to carry around a burden of guilt. That's why he sent Jesus, right? To take away that burden. He wants you to live in the freedom that comes with knowing Jesus. This whole discussion about spiritual gifts is really an invitation to be a part of something bigger than yourself and bigger than this life. It is the encouragement that you are incredibly important, that you have something to offer. And it doesn't mean that you have to add all kinds of things to your daily schedule, but probably more look at yourself and your life in a little different way and see that these gifts that you have, God's giving you opportunities. You need to look for them and find them to put them to use to serve other people and not just focus on yourself. You can change the world and you can help people. You can be part of the Holy Spirit's work. And God wants you to be excited about that kind of opportunity. You know, as your pastors, we'd like to encourage you to see yourself as a treasure chest. If you were to find a treasure chest somewhere, what would be your first impulse, right? Open it up, see what's inside. Well, next week, as we continue our discussion on spiritual gifts, we're going to help you open up yourself and see the treasures that God has placed inside of you. We're also going to see that there's all kinds of other treasure chests all around us, filled with spiritual gifts, each with unique things to offer God's family. You are gifted. Maybe not quite the same in the same way as Mozart, but there's a treasure inside of you that the Holy Spirit wants to use to do his wondrous and miraculous work. Let's unleash it, huh? Just as a follow-up quickly, we often give next steps. And I just want to encourage you sometime this week to think about, if you haven't already done this, go onto the webpage, stpaulmuskego.org, and at the very top on the left, there's a button that says Discover Your Spiritual Gifts. You press that button, there's a survey, and it will help you figure out what those spiritual gifts are that you might have, and it'll be a great preparation for next week's message. Please stand. And now may the grace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard our hearts and our minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.